James chapter number 4, and we will finish the verse that we started this morning. James chapter number 4, and let's pray together again. Father, thank you. God, thank you for your word, its truth, its power, and our opportunity to meet back together again this evening and study the scripture together. Lord, pray that you bless our time. Direct our hearts, teach us, instruct us, challenge us. Lord, help us. God, I pray that your will be accomplished in our lives. God, that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, help us to be hearers of the word and then doers of the word, that we might experience the blessing that you intend for us. Bless our pastor this evening. Give him the strength that he needs as he preaches tonight and throughout the week. And I pray that you'd have your hand upon us at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 4 and in verse number 5. Once again, the Bible says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Of course it's not in vain. God says what he means and he means what he says. And we need to pay careful attention. But he giveth more grace, verse number 6. Aren't you thankful for that? More grace, abundant grace, exceeding grace from God is available. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, so that you can experience and receive grace instead of resistance. It's all up to the choice that we make as to whether or not we allow God to be God in our lives. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And then our passage this evening says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. Carefully note what the passage does not say. It doesn't say rebuke the devil. It doesn't say that. Jude 1:9, Michael the archangel, he contended with the devil about the body of Moses. And what he say? The Lord rebuke thee. You say, well, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Exactly. The Lord rebuke thee. You're not the Lord. Resist the devil. It doesn't say rebuke the devil. It doesn't say stomp the devil. Doesn't say that. The Bible says, Romans 16:20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. We'll get to participate in that eventually, but it'll be God making it happen. So just leave that to the Lord. Let God be God. Submit yourselves, right? Okay? So resist the devil. Doesn't say rebuke the devil. Doesn't say stomp the devil. Doesn't say cast out the devil. Ask the sons of Sceva how that works out. Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you guys? Bam! Doesn't say rebuke the devil. Doesn't say stomp the devil. Doesn't say cast out the devil. Doesn't say bind the devil. Now there's an angel that's going to do that in Revelation chapter number 20. That's his job. That's his assignment. God didn't tell you to do that. A lot of unscriptural ideas out there. Let's stick with the Bible. Let's go with what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is simply resist the devil. Now, we already encountered that word once in this passage where the Bible says that God resisteth the proud. And remember, he's not against us. It's just that sometimes we're against him. Sometimes the pride of our heart rises up and we make an attempt to take his place and he's not having it. God resists that. He doesn't give in. He doesn't succumb to the pressure. He doesn't let us get away with trying to take the place that is rightfully his. He resisteth the proud. And then he tells us to resist the devil. Meaning what? The devil's against us. He must be resisted. We can't give in. We can't succumb to the pressure that he is going to bring to bear upon our lives. We must resist, the Bible says. And that word means, literally, to stand against. The word resist means to withstand. Does that sound familiar? Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What does it mean to resist? It means to simply not allow yourself to be knocked down and knocked off course. It just means to plant your feet and not be moved and stand against the opposition. Stand against the influence. Stand against what the devil is trying to cause to happen in your life. Resist. Resist. It means to act in opposition or to oppose. Brother Benson asked me on the way in about the sermon tonight. Are you for it or against it? And I'm against it tonight. I'm in opposition to what the devil is trying to accomplish. I want to oppose him in every way that I can. That's what it means to resist. That I don't want to be in league with Satan. I don't want to be on the same page as God's arch enemy. I don't want to be associated in any way with what he's trying to accomplish on this earth, in our church, in my family, in my life. I want to oppose him. I want to oppose him. To resist means to strive against, to endeavor to counteract, to defeat, or frustrate. It means to baffle or to disappoint. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now listen, here's the crux of the message this evening. We don't need to fear the devil. You don't need to be afraid of him. He's a defeated foe. It's a foregone conclusion. Jesus Christ spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to fear the devil, but you don't need to toy with him either. And you certainly don't need to cooperate with him in any way. And how is it that we resist the devil? It's joined in the same verse. If you submit yourself to God, then you'll resist the devil. Submitting to God, again, allowing him to have his way in our lives. Resist the devil. Don't let him have his way in your life. Understand, God has a will for your life. He put it down in Scripture. We're to trust in the Lord so that He can direct our paths. God has a plan for you, a calling for you, a ministry for you, a place in His church for you. You understand, the devil has a will for your life. He's got something that he wants to do. Something that he wants to destroy. Something that he wants to mess up. Some havoc that he wants to wreak in your heart and in your mind and in your home. Now, which are you going to submit to? Submit to God, resist the devil. Turn to 1 Peter 5. Look at how these passages line up. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Beginning in verse number 5, 1 Peter 5. And verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. It's exactly what we saw in James chapter 4, and this humility and this submission, it's supposed to be expressed in all of our relationships. Romans 12 says, preferring one another. And Philippians chapter 2 says, look every man on the things of others. And the example that Christ set is an example of laying down his life for others. And that's an aspect of this submission that God is calling us to. It's taking the lower place and denying self and living to minister to and be a blessing to those around you. Verse number 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. That's Philippians chapter 2. Christ humbled himself and God has given him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father, that He is Lord. Verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's an element of this submission that relates to the trials and troubles that we face in our lives and the hardships and difficulties that we experience. I'm not saying tonight they all come from God, but I'm saying tonight that God can help you with them all. And God can take whatever it is that you're facing and He can use it to bring forth something for your good and for His glory. God is able to work all things together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. So cast your care upon Him. Submit that problem to the Lord. Leave it in His hands. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Verse number 8, be sober. Be sober. Have the right mindset. Don't be deluded. Romans 12 says, don't get drunk on your pride. You get drunk on more than alcohol. There's more than just substances that'll rob you of your sobriety. Do you think the scripture saith in vain? Are you not thinking? Be sober. The Bible says, verse number 8, be vigilant. I always want to say vigilant. That's not the word. Be vigilant. Watchful. Ready. Ephesians 5, walk circumspectly. Situational awareness. Spiritual situational awareness. Watch your back. Keep an eye on your surroundings. Make sure you're not putting yourself in compromising situations. Be aware of the different ways that the enemy might attack your home or your mind or your heart. Be sober. Be vigilant. The Bible says, because your adversary, he's against you. He's a real enemy. He's a real person. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God's enemy. Our enemy, the devil, hates everything that God loves. And once again, God has a will, God has a plan, a way in which He wants to use us, a way in which He wants to bless us. The devil, likewise, has a will, the devil has a plan. He can't take you to hell if you're saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But here's what he'd like to do. He'd like to ruin your testimony. He'd like to ruin your joy. He'd like to rob you of your peace. He'd like to take away your effectiveness for the cause of Jesus Christ. In a word, he wants to devour you. That's serious. He doesn't just want to mess with you. He doesn't just want to play with you. He's a roaring lion who's hungry and in need of a meal. He wants to eat you up. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to wreck your home. Good reason to be sober. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. To devour is to destroy, to consume with rapidity and violence. It means to annihilate, to consume, to waste. Paul prayed, I don't want to waste the grace of God that's been bestowed upon me. How could that grace of God go to waste? If you give place to the devil, he'll step right in. He'll devour you. To devour means, dictionary definition, to ruin the soul. Now, that's what he wants to do. And what the Bible says is, don't let him. Resist the devil. Verse number 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. God's people have the victory, and we need to encourage and strengthen and edify one another. We're in this fight together. You don't have to fight alone. But verse number 8 again says, seeking whom he may devour, whom he may devour. Now, your mom taught you this, or your grammar teacher taught you this, and if they didn't, they should have. Can and may are not the same. Can I? I don't know. Can you? May I? Okay, now you're asking for permission, right? can, ability, may, permission. The Bible does not say the devil is seeking whom he can devour. Guess what? He can. He has the ability. But the Bible says he does not have the permission unless we grant it to him. So how do we resist the devil? We submit to God. If we're following God's word, walking in the Spirit, living in obedience to Jesus Christ, listen, the devil's going to come for you. He might be stalking you. He might be attacking you. He might be laying some snares for you. He might be tempting you. But listen, you don't need to fear the devil because he is powerless to overtake you or overpower you or overcome you if you resist him. Because the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. I don't need to run away from the devil. I just need to stand on the word of God. I don't need to pick a fight with the devil. That'd be dumb. Remember that king in the Old Testament? He invites the other king out to battle, and the other king says, listen, there's really no need for this. You're just going to get yourself hurt. He said, no one will fight you. And then what happened to him? He picked a fight that he couldn't win, and he lost. No reason to pick a fight with the devil. Just resist him. Just don't let him get his way. Just follow God and submit to his word. Now we're going to come back to our passage in 1 Peter 5. We'll turn a few places this evening. What I'd like to do is just have a little bit of a Bible study tonight and go through the Bible and see some things that the devil can do. Now 1 Peter 5, in order to devour you, he needs permission. You have to grant him that permission. Here are some things the devil can do according to the scripture. Come to Luke chapter number 4 with me. The first is the devil can tempt you. Now listen, he can't overpower you, overtake you. He can't devour you unless permission is granted. Here's what he can do. He can tempt you. And you can count on it. Every man is tempted, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and that temptation doesn't come from God, James chapter 1. Who does it come from? It comes from the devil. He is called in Scripture the tempter. So what he can do is provide opportunity for you to sin. What he can do is allure you on the basis of those lusts that war in your members. What he can do is provide enticement and draw you away. Okay, and this is what he did, Luke chapter number 4. Notice verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now listen, walking the Spirit doesn't exempt you from temptation. Live in obedience to the Lord, that doesn't exempt you from temptation. Every man is tempted. He was 40 days tempted of the devil, verse 2. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now listen, is there anything wrong with eating bread? There's not. Is it a natural, could we say, God-given desire for food and sustenance and nourishment? It is. And so the application for us, he's not tempted. Well, maybe he does tempt us to eat too much bread from time to time. But the temptation for us, the lesson for us is God will use your natural, or the devil will use your natural God-given desires to draw you away. For instance, God created marriage. And he said it's a good thing. And he said he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And God made male and female for the purpose of perpetuating the species. Right? And he has given a man natural desires to prepare himself to enter into a covenantal relationship, to find a wife, to marry a wife, to cleave to a wife. That's all natural. That's all good inside of the boundaries that God established. But the devil will take that and he'll try to get you to enjoy it outside of the boundaries that God established. He'll use some natural desire to lure you into sin. And so over and over again, the New Testament says, flee fornication. It's good for a man not to touch woman. Why? To avoid fornication. Don't give in. Don't indulge the lusts of your flesh. But the devil's going to try to give you an opportunity to do it. He's the tempter. We're not going to read the entire passage. You remember how this goes down. The devil tempts Jesus Christ three times. In the temptation, the devil quotes scripture to Jesus. And it didn't work with Jesus, but it works with a lot of saved people. I've been in the ministry long enough to hear a lot of people use the Bible to justify their sin. Guess what? The devil knows more scripture than you do. And if you want a reason to disobey God, he'll give you a reason from the Bible. He'll tempt you. You've got to resist that. You got to stand against that. Verse number 13, after it's all over, Jesus didn't sin, by the way. Jesus victorious in temptation, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he is able to run swiftly to our aid, give us the victory in the hour of temptation. Verse 13, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. For a season. Indicating this was not the only temptation. The devil tried to bring Jesus Christ. Listen, you win one battle, you can count on it. There's going to be another. That's why you've got to remain sober and vigilant, because temptation is something you are going to keep facing. And you got to resist the devil. He can tempt you. He can't make you sin. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You wanted to do it. He provided you the opportunity that you needed. But God can't force his will on you, and the devil can't force his will on you. With the temptation, guess what? God made a way to escape. But you got to take it, okay? Second thing he can do, he can deceive. He can deceive. Ephesians says, stand against the wiles of the devil. His tricks, his schemes. He's been spoiled. He's been defeated. Listen, according to the Word of God, he's not going to come in and take up residence inside the believer. I don't think there's any such thing as a devil-possessed Christian. A whole lot of devil-influenced Christians. A whole lot of devil-oppressed Christians. You see what I'm saying? But the Bible says here's what he can do. He can tempt you and he can deceive you. He can get you to believe the wrong thing. He is a master of deception. And over again, the Bible says, be not deceived. What do you got to do? Gird your loins with truth. In Revelation 12, verse number 9, the Bible says, the devil and Satan deceiveth the whole world. That tribulation time. All the world goes after the beast. All the world is worshiping the Antichrist and taking his mark. How does that happen? Well, we kind of saw how it might happen here a few years ago. COVID seemed to be a really good test run. How the hell did everybody take the mark? Well, can't buy or sell. He deceiveth the whole world. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. So the devil, he can tempt you. He can deceive you. Better be sober. Better be vigilant. Better submit to God. Better be in your Bible. Better study the scripture. Better know the truth. We are all more susceptible than we think we are to deception. He can't overtake you, but he can trick you into falling into a pit yourself. Look at Mark chapter 4. Here's something the devil can do and something he does. Mark chapter 4 And verse 14. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Here's something the devil can do. Here's something the devil does. He's going to try to remove the influence of God's word from your heart and mind. We said God has a will, the devil has a will. You know what God's will is? That you get in church and hear Bible preaching. You know what the devil's will is? That you sit home and do something else. And then having come and heard and received the word of God, you know what the devil's going to try to get you to do? Forget it as soon as he can. He's going to come and try to, before that word can take root in your heart and bring forth fruit, he's like a bird that's going to come and steal that seed. He's going to try to distract you with something else. He's going to try to get somebody to say something that you're going to take the wrong way and go home and get offended and talk bad about the brethren instead of letting God's word ruminate in your heart. He can do anything he can to keep you from being influenced by the word of God. You come to church, you hear the preaching, you fellowship with God's people, you go home. You know what the devil wants you to do? Turn on the TV. Why? So he can cause you to forget God's word. You know what he wants you to do? Get on the computer. Start surfing the net. Scrolling social media. Brain rot. Why? So he can steal the word of God from your heart. So that it can't get in down into the soil and bring forth fruit for the honor and glory of God. That's his will. Resist it. Resist it. But he can take that word out. You gotta be sober. Gotta be vigilant. Stand against that. Look at Acts chapter 5. Here's something the devil can do. Acts chapter number 5. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They had some property. They sold the property and gave part of the money to God. Now, just if we stop right there, that's a blessing. Yep. Invite them to the Bible Baptist Church. Right? And listen, God's not a socialist and God's not a communist. It was their private property. They could do whatever they wanted with it. If they wanted to give it all, they could give it all. If they wanted to give some, they could give some. If they wanted to be stingy and give nothing, fine. Sort of. But what'd they do? Well, they made a big show. They brought in their offering as if they had given everything that came from the sale of the property. They pretended to be more spiritual than they were. Put it in those terms, it gets a little more convicting. I mean, I've never done the sell the property and bring it all thing. But I've probably done the pretend to be more spiritual than I am thing. Verse number 3. The only problem was God was aware of what happened. You can fool Peter, you can fool the apostles, you can fool all the people at church, but God knows. And in this instance, God told the preacher. Now, that doesn't often happen, but it's really cool when it does. But Peter said, verse number 3, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Now, listen, we said this morning, it's to your benefit to submit to God. Ananias and Sapphira, it would have been to their benefit. They ended up dead in Acts chapter 5. But the point that I'd like to make from the passage is, where did this whole idea come from? Hey, Sapphira, you know that property? Well, yeah. Well, let's sell it. Okay. And let's take some of the money to church. Well, okay, but let's pretend like we took it all. Ooh, that makes us sound spiritual. Like, how did they come up with this idea. You know where it came from? It came from the devil. Yeah. The Bible says that Satan put it in their heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Listen, some crazy stuff comes across your mind. Some crazy stuff enters into my mind. Where does that come from? If it doesn't line up from the Word of God, you can just go ahead and chalk it up to the devil. Why would that enter my heart? Why would that enter my mind? Now listen, sometimes you can't control what thoughts you have, but you can control what you do with them. Second Corinthians chapter number 10. You got to arrest that thing. You got to captivate that thing. You got to bring it in obedience to Christ. You got to submit to God. But here's what the devil can do. He can give you some crazy ideas. He can put some really wicked stuff into your heart. Now you don't have to act on it. You can resist it. You can say, no, that's crazy. I'm not going to do that. That's unscriptural. But he's gonna plant the idea in your mind. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's something else he can do. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26, the Bible says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I told you the devil has a will for your life. Here's what he wants to do. Ensnare you. He wants to trap you. He wants to bring you into bondage. He wants you to be held captive. He wants you to be tangled up in something that it's going to be really difficult to extricate yourself from. And this is how it works. One sin always leads to another. And Proverbs 5 says, when you choose the path of disobedience, you are liable to end up holding by the cords of your sin. He wants to get you all wrapped up. It might be a vice, it might be a habit, it might be some act of disobedience, it might be the wrong associations, but listen, it might just be entangled with the affairs of this life. He's just going to give you some opportunity to get wrapped up in something where you're not free to serve the Lord and glorify God. And he can do it if you let him. He wants to ensnare you. Look at Revelation chapter 2, something else he can do. Revelation chapter 2. And verse number 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. This is in the message of the church at Smyrna. The Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You know what the devil can do? He can bring trials into your life. He can. He brings suffering, persecution. He can be the cause of hardship and difficulty. Often when we enter into those seasons of life, our first thought is, God, why did you do this to me? But oftentimes, it's not God that's doing it to you. It might just be the devil. Whose idea was Job's ordeal? God didn't come up with that. The sons of God showed up before the Lord. The devil was among them. And it was the devil's idea to bring all that hardship into Job's life. Now listen, God has to allow it. He has to be granted permission. But the devil can, and the devil will, and the devil does. Listen, he might try to knock you off course, not by dragging you into sin, but by getting you down and depressed and discouraged and troubled by some hardship or difficulty in your life. What'd Paul say, 1 Thessalonians 2:18? We would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. He chalked that up to the devil. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, "This the devil's behind us not being able to fellowship." There was some trial, some hardship. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, lest I should be exalted of a measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Probably some kind of physical affliction that Paul experienced, and according to the Bible, it came from Satan. Now, God used it, and God is so good that He can take something that comes from the devil and use it to fulfill His purpose if we'll submit to Him. Paul only became stronger through this weakness that he experienced, but the weakness came from the devil. And he might be the one behind that hardship that you're facing, that difficulty you're experiencing, that unspoken prayer request that is keeping you up at night. Understand, it might just be the devil trying to get you to quit the Christian life. Resist the devil. Resist him. In Luke 22:31, Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Just take out everything good. It's what he wants to do. Now come back to 1 Peter chapter 5. What do we do about it? 1 Peter chapter 5. He can tempt, and he does. He can deceive if we let him. He can take God's word out of our hearts. He can fill our hearts with nonsense. He can ensnare us. He can bring hardship and trials. He can sift us. He desires to devour us, but the Bible says he needs permission. Be sober, verse 8, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil's roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Gird your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Take the shield of faith. Hold on to the sword of Spirit with the helmet of salvation. The Word of God is your defense against everything the devil's going to throw your way. What did Jesus do on that Mount of Temptation? He said, "It is written." Devil, I understand what you're saying, but I'm telling you what God said. I'm going to stand right there. I'm going to follow that. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians 4. Verse number 26. Be ye angry. If God put a period there, a lot of us be real obedient. That's not all he said. Be angry and sin not. And that's where the trouble lies. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Seeking whom he may devour. He can devour you if you'll give him space to do so. If you'll allow him an entrance. You give him an inch and he'll take a mile. Even in your anger, you better be careful not to give the devil a place in your heart. Resist him. Stand. Withstand. Oppose. And listen, the Bible says you don't have to be afraid. You resist, he'll flee. Submit yourself to God. He'll give you abundant grace. So, we don't need to fear our enemy. We also don't need to underestimate our enemy. We need to realistically acknowledge what he can do. But then plant our feet in what the Bible says we can do to stand against him. Because again, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we've got all the power to be victorious, and it's not ours, it comes from God, but it's available to us. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Father, thank you for your word this evening, and God, our time together to study it. Thank you for the good time in the church house today. Lord, we look forward to our music school this week. Ask for your blessing on that. We're praying for real good participation and just a profitable time together. Again, would you bless our pastor as he preaches meetings this week. Grant him physical strength and spiritual power. Lord, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.